Chapter 7. Pax Imperialis. General Benedict stood with Admiral D'Armitage on the bridge of the Emperor-class battleship Pax Imperialis and counted the enemy craft that ringed Faith's anchorage. There were 5 strike cruisers in the assorted colours of renegade space marines, a black battle barge, and a number of modified escorts, their proud heraldry now defaced with the symbols of heresy. "Can we take them?" Benedict asked. The Admiral pursed his lips and nodded. "Yes," he said. "I believe we can." Benedict felt a wave of responsibility upon his shoulders. He took in a deep breath and thought of all the other commanders who might be here, but most of all, of Creed. His loss had been the most grievous. Benedict was unworthy to lead the forces of Cadia, but there was no one left. "Good," he said. "Then let the attack begin." Without a navigator as able as Hippolytus Frem, the evacuation fleet and surviving ships of Battlefleet Cadia had been scattered across the galaxy by the warp. About half had followed in the wake of the Lord Lieutenant Beric, re-entering real space in the far reaches of the Agrippina system. The wounded ships had gathered well beyond the elliptical orbit of far-flung Urath and the labour-rich Narsine, and proceeded cautiously into the system. Admiral D'Armitage had imposed strict silence on all ships and crews, as his damaged craft went through necessary repairs and refitting. As soon as his Cobra scouts had reported a gathering of heretical ships within the order of Agrippina and Morton's Quay, he'd ordered his fleet to move forward at dead slow and to maintain void silence. By the time D'Armitage and Benedict were surveying the Chaos Fleet, a lifetime of training had reasserted itself, and the forces of Cadia were eager for another fight, a chance to prove themselves. Benedict would give them that, he promised. The Grand Alliance led Battlefleet Cadia forward, her entire complement of fighters and bombers sitting on the flight decks ready to go. The heretic ships had been so focused on destroying Gruber that they only suddenly saw, with horror and alarm, that another, much larger Cadian fleet was sailing towards them. On each bridge, the heretic skeleton crews left behind were presented with a desperate challenge: to engage or to flee. Each of the captains on board responded according to their own priorities. For some, it was a chance to seize control of a valuable void craft. Others saw the Imperial fleet and knew that the forces that had met on the ice world of Faith's anchorage would be lost without them. But none of the choices were good. It was just a matter of picking the least worst from a range of options. The Hades-class heavy cruiser, Tears of Hate, jabbed forward, attempting to engage the lead Imperial ships with her deadly broadsides and slow them down. Her slave gun crews were hauling the last of her vast shells into the breach, when she was struck squarely on the armor-plated nose by a Nova cannon shot from the Golden Farrell, a Luna-class cruiser. The shot detonated with incredible power, ripping the Tears of Hate apart. In an instant, 9,000 lives were lost. Black Legion, heretics, cultists and slaves. The Void did not care. As the two fleets closed, the heretics began to exact a growing toll on the weakened Imperial craft. Assault torpedoes were launched across the void with Cadians storming Chaos ships and Black Legion kill squads, fighting their way through to the Engineariums, bridges and void shield generators, and disabling them with a series of well-laid melter bombs. The skies above the small moon were thick with flashes of fire and smoke as debris began to rain down on Faith's anchorage. In the midst of it all, the Grand Alliance's flight crews tore gaping holes in the enemy craft, but she herself was raked by a pair of broadsides that left her listing to port, unable to steer. Her course drove her straight into the middle of the Chaos fleet, where she was set upon with merciless fury. There were fights in almost every landing bay as the heretics sought to seize control of the Imperial flagship. It was only the sudden intervention of a lean, grey hunter that saved her. Where the Space Wolf strike cruiser Stiklestad came from, no one could tell. But suddenly she appeared between the two ships and took a broadside that was meant to finish off the Grand Alliance on her void shields, and then retorted with a broadside of her own, crippling the burning Slaughter-class cruiser, the Hand of Abaddon. The battle was deadly and bloody. Bit by bit, the Chaos Fleet was broken, destroyed, or boarded, the few survivors fleeing sunwards, late arrivals quickly turning back. After 8 hours of relentless naval fighting, the Chaos forces on Faith's anchorage faced the same predicament that Gruber's small force had before them. The Imperials held the space above them, and Faith's anchorage was to be their grave. Admiral Armitage led his fleet forward, and they unleashed a devastating barrage on the moon. "We could destroy it," he said, as the green light of the holopict underlit his face. "Don't," Bendix said. "Allow my men the opportunity to take revenge." "How many do you have?" Bendix paused. "Enough," he said. "Think you could take out the forces on the moon?" Bendix smiled. "I'm sure of it." Darmitage bowed. "General Bendix, my landers are at your disposal. Take revenge for us all."